Okay, we're on the air, and this is Sarah, Tim, and Jerry.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. All right. Well, we made it. We're going to talk today about convertibles, and these are not the cars with the top down. These are actually it's an interesting genre of device. Let's just say it's a device, And I sent Sarah and Tim an article earlier in the week about the third device. What is the third device? And so, Sarah, you asked an excellent question when we were talking earlier. Hit it again, because this is the crux of a lot of what we're going to talk about.
Okay. Well, the concept of the third device is that you have your laptop or, no, you have your desktop machine for work, and you have your phone for kind of everyday communications, carrying with you all the time. But then you have your third device, a tablet or something similar, for relaxation times when you're not at your desk or you're not on the move. You're just sitting in your comfy chair and you want to watch a movie or read a book or something. That's your third device. Now, it seems to me that we've all been doing that for a long time now with the iPhone and the iPad and the iMac, giving us the three devices. And that's pretty much the way I use them for, you know, work, communications, and play. But with the convertible notebook, the sort of hybrid tablet / laptop, is it possible to merge these three devices into two devices?
Yes. And you know, moreover, do you want to? And that's, of course, always the question. But let's just say you do want to. Yeah, I do think we're getting closer to have that. And, you know, let's face it, the iPad is moving in that direction as well with a pen and a keyboard. But I think another way to look at this, too, is that I have a third device. Sometimes I want it to be different, just like I don't want to sit in the same room all day. I don't want to look at the same screen all day. So sometimes people will say, okay, yeah, I need something else. For some people, it's a Kindle reader, you know. So,
oh well, I would have to say I'm a big Kindle fan, so I would go. I'd say I'd have to have four devices, because I read a lot, and the Kindle of course wins out, not by display or by user interface, definitely not user interface, but it wins out big when it comes to battery life. But that's kind of a separate issue at this point.
My
difficulty with this concept of the hybrid, the convertible device, is that I have never been a laptop person. I've always had a desktop computer with a nice big screen. And to me, a laptop is already a compromise, because you've got the portability, but you've got a small screen. And you've got a keyboard at a funny position, you know, that's fixed to the screen. And so I'm not a real laptop person. However, when I do use a laptop, I do find myself reaching out and swiping on the screen.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I think that's maybe the genesis of these convertible devices that are both laptop and tablet. Now, Tim, you're more of a laptop guy. Is that correct, or am I wrong?
No. I'm more like Sarah. I've had the phone. I started with a Trio, and then we got the iPhones, and so we've had the iPhone and the iPad, and I like the desktop machines for work and playing World of Warcraft on. I have flirted as the phones began to suffer from gigantism. I began to consider the possibility that when I got the giant 6S, whether I still needed an iPad. So I have had a couple of goes now at trying to ditch the iPad and just use the phone, and it definitely could be done. But I've decided that it's not for me. This isn't a passionate conviction. I like trying all these different bits of technology, but I've just decided, nope, next time I'm going to get the littlest phone that I can put up with. That generally means I'll probably not be able to have the best camera if Apple follows their traditions. But I'll get a smaller phone, I'll have an iPad, and I'll have the desktop machine. But I suppose we should all state the obvious, which is that there's an infinite variety of people out there, and they're all going to thrash out what works for them. And but it's interesting that there are, I guess the point of this discussion is that we are starting to see some new devices with different abilities with the Surface and so on. And I'm very interested to know, and the the Chromebooks, and you have some experience with those, and I have none whatsoever. So I'm interested in how they change these equations.
Yeah, in the past I've had a client. Sarah and I both had a client who was interested in Chromebooks and asked me to check them out. So this was some years ago, and when they first came out. So I used them then, and the big upside of a Chromebook at that time, and to an extent even today, was their cost. They were extremely cheap and extremely simple. It was just a browser, and it was built. The spec was Google sponsored, and the OS was Google built, and it went on from there. But since that time, some things have evolved, and the hardware and the software for Chromebooks has really changed. And of course, everything else has too. Mac OS and the hardware for it have changed. It's become a bit more iOS-like, and some of even the hardware things like the Touch Bar have kind of crept in that direction. I mean, all of these devices have either through peripherals, through input methods or various things, are creeping towards each other. That's kind of the way I look at it. The phones are getting big and acting more like tablets. The tablets are getting keyboards and styluses and pencils and acting more like laptops. And some of the laptops are big enough to almost consider to be desktops. And they all, of course, including Chromebooks, hook up to big monitors. So they can become desktops. So the key thing, I guess, the interesting thing to say about the laptop, the Chromebooks today, in January 2017, is they are all becoming Android devices as well as Chromebooks. So this opens them up to huge numbers of applications. Now, many of them are crummy applications. Many of them have real estate problems in managing the geography and geometry of the screens. But nevertheless, there's a couple million applications that can run on a Chromebook. Now, interestingly enough also, let me add before I give the floor up to you guys to ask questions, one of the other very interesting things is that the hardware, the reference hardware for a Chromebook is really changed in January, starting with the CES show. These guys have started to create Chromebooks that are spec'd much higher, that have more local storage, because now there's more applications, right? They can be stored, and the applications have data, et cetera, et cetera. These things are creeping toward the kind of spec that an iPad has. The screens are touch, and they've almost universally, all of them, decided that the cool thing to do is just to have that screen flip all the way around and let you either have a tablet that's flat that you can use, or flip it up and use it as a notebook, or make it into flip it around the other way and make it into a display that just sits up by itself so you don't have to hold it. So that's a convertible. That's a classic definition of a convertible. And there are Android convertibles that have this form factor, a few of them. And then there are many Chromebooks now that have them. And some of them are really well built. They're getting to the point where they're like iPad and MacBooks. They have built extremely well, aluminum, retina screens, great touch. and stuff like that. But the only thing holding them back are applications, and there are some good applications starting to appear. So that said, fire away if you guys have questions.
Well, I have an observation and leading to a question. The first one of those convertible machines I ever saw, where you flip it all the way back and it becomes a tablet instead of a laptop, was a Windows-based computer. I think it was a Toshiba. And this would have been 6-7 years ago with Windows, not XP surely, but some way back in Windows world. And the problem was that when you flipped it back to become a touch screen, you were still running standard Windows, which was not designed for a big fat finger to be pointing at it. And it was not designed to have to operate without a keyboard attached, really. So this stuff was really hard to use, and the keyboard was kind of hacked on afterwards. So it seems to me like the Chromebooks could be solving that problem if the laptop mode runs Chrome OS and the tablet mode runs Android OS. Is that how it works?
Not exactly. What happens is Android runs in a separate compartment, so and talks fluidly to Chrome OS so that basic things get done. So technically, to answer your question, the answer is no. But visually, what you're asking does more or less happen. When you flip to a notebook mode, there's an event that gets generated by the OS, and the Android applications can respond to it by resizing. And many of them do. And instead of being window-like, they take over the entire screen, and their geometries adjust and become more touchable, if you will. And in general, though, the thing that's happened since you've seen that Toshiba is that almost everything, including the web, has been influenced by touch devices. And so they are getting bigger and better targets, simpler and more intuitive interfaces, et cetera, where my experience in using, I use a flip, a 10-inch flip notebook. It's called the Asus Flip. And this is probably the smallest of all these things. There's a lot of them, 11 and 12 inches, but this one is 10 diagonal. And it has good targets. They're easy enough to hit with your fingers and not bad at all. And when you're in tablet mode, and they do tend to grow to accommodate the screen. But you can also, when they're in notebook mode, you can still touch the targets, move the windows, shrink and expand windows and all the basic stuff, hit buttons, links, drag things, drop things. So, yeah, it's that little instinct that you just talked about where you want to be able to do that on your laptop after you've been using an iPad for a while.
I was just wondering, do you use a stylus? Because, of course, that makes a touch screen as precise as a standard laptop desktop.
I tried, of course, because I have a stylus, but I was not very tempted by that. I'm pretty good with my fingers, and I even have a bad finger that's been damaged and still works well. So, no, I just, when I want to touch something, I just reach up and touch it or drag it or resize it or whatever I want to do. I don't use a stylus. I don't have any problem with accuracy, really.
That's interesting. Okay, Tim, go for it.
So the touch screens, it sounds from the way you're speaking as though the touch screens are about as responsive as an iPad touch screen, much the same.
Well, and that's an interesting question because, as you both know, I'm a big iPad fan and I use an iPad a lot. All I do with my Mac is code. So I end up doing not just consumption, but business tasks like, I do my graphics on it, logos and images, and a lot of correspondence, and some of the other basic business-oriented kind of tasks that one might do. So, I use a lot, and I'd have to say in terms of touch, probably if you clocked it and looked at it, the one I'm using I'm using a $200 device, and my iPad is, I think, more like I'm trying to think of the one I had is $499, but I upped the RAM on it and some other things, so it's probably $600-$700 device. I would have to say everything is better about that iPad, but given the price and a few and some of the conveniences that it provides, the Chromebook is not a terrible machine, and in fact, it can be used. I use it for many hours a day. And have done so for the last month. So, yeah, it is. And I have to say, there's a lot of times I have to touch something more than once on an iPad to get it to work. So I don't have a flawless touch device in an iPad either. And I'd say I probably have that same level of success with a Chromebook. And a lot of that is because of, you know, I'm moving around and the angle that I'm looking at something isn't perfect. And so when my finger hits it, it doesn't hit it properly, or you have to take a little care because if you tap something and your finger moves, it thinks you want to move it. It doesn't think you meant to tap it. So, you know, you can't be in too much of a rush. You can't tap too slowly. You know, there's a few little things that are true of both interfaces, but it's definitely usable. And it's, you know, it's not like it was 3 years ago, or certainly wasn't like when the Toshibas were flip convertible devices.
Okay, here's the thing that drives me crazy, talking about the iPad touch interface. I find text selection to be a huge problem. It's so hard to grab a chunk of text. How does your Asus Flip work with trying to grab text?
Well, when you have the keyboard up, in other words, when it's not being used in tablet mode, you have the arrow keys, and of course they work wonderfully. And the flavor of now I have a choice. I can use Chrome apps that run inside the Chrome browser with the Chromebook, or I can use Android apps. And so the Android apps have a very nice selection kind of user interface. It's only very slightly different than iOS. It's for the most part it's the same, but it works with the arrow keys. It works great. I love it. It's wonderful. With the touch interface, I would say it's the same selecting stuff inside of an iPad or an iPhone. It's not that different. So, yeah, that's kind of where I would stand on that. But I do have a keyboard that is very easy to get to. It's a solid keyboard, meaning I don't have to worry about it flopping around. I don't have to use it on a desk. I can if I want to. I can use it on my lap, which is my primary mode. Did that answer your question, Sarah?
Yeah, it did. I still think that touching, selecting text via touch is a tech. Somebody has to come up with a better solution for that. I don't think Apple or Android or anybody has come up with the great solution there yet.
No, I totally agree with you. And, you know, there's no argument there. And under those circumstances, and you know, I have a keyboard with my iPad too. So that's one of the reasons I'm interested in Chromebook Flip is because I have the exact same thing on my iPad. I have a keyboard on it. And that's why I got it for what you're talking about right now. It's so easy to select text. And such like that.
Yeah.
And I do have to say the keyboard is better integrated in a Chromebook than the keyboard is on an iPad. That, I'd have to say, it is better.
I think I would expect that, of course, for one that's physically attached all the time. But I think that is a problem that might be improved in the iPad Pros with their keyboard that attaches in a different way.
Well, yes, the lack of Bluetooth on the iPad Pros is good and is probably better. I've used it in store a lot to test it, and yeah, it's wonderful. But that's not what I was really talking about. I was talking about the use of a keyboard on a Chromebook is much more like using a keyboard on a desktop or a laptop. It's better integrated, tabbing through items, and you know, a lot of things people complain about the keyboard on an iPad Pro aren't problems on a Chromebook. They work much more
right,
like you would expect
okay.
them to work. Yeah, I was talking
well,
more about using him. Yeah,
fair
not
enough.
The performance.
Okay, your Flip was $250, whereas your iPad was sort of $600-$700. And
right.
for that price differential, you're willing to accept the downsides. As you say, it's not quite as slick to use as an iPad, but it has some advantages. But the Chromebooks now, as you also mentioned, are going out of market, and they're becoming as expensive or more than an iPad. And once they get, it seems to me that they're branching out of their natural marketplace and getting into a place where it's much harder for them to compete with the iPad than when they were super cheap. But, of course, you've got to balance that they probably weren't making any money when they were super cheap. So, I don't know.
Well, it's a very interesting situation. And this is by far the most... it's beyond interesting. It's kind of like this. Some people have made a bet here. And it'll be very interesting to see how the horses end up at the end of the race and how this works out. There are some big companies like Samsung and Asus and Dell to an extent, who are even not just saying, okay, we're going to build some upmarket Chromebooks, but they're betting on a whole new market. They're saying, because if you're betting on education with a Chromebook, you can't lose, because they have that market, and administrators of school are constantly looking at them, and there's lots of ways to break into that market and make money. But these are people who are actually looking more at a business or a prosumer kind of market. And I'll give you a couple of examples. The Samsung Pro and the Samsung Plus are kind of Google's example of a supposed competitor to an iPad. And these things are convertibles, meaning they flip around. These two devices, which are virtually the same except for the processor, these two things also have a built-in stylus that you can pop out that it's not as good as a pencil, but it is not a bad stylus at all. It's much better than, you know, the ordinary stuff you see, and it has the stuff to become a real competitor at some point. You know, the hardware, the firmware.
The pencil is a magical device.
It is.
No other stylus comes close to it, I think. Well,
right.
If we're going to talk hybrids, so far we've just been talking about the Chromebooks as they compare to an iPad. But of course, the other thing to consider is Microsoft's offering the Surface Pros. They're also a convertible device, aren't they?
They are, but they've come so late to the party with software. They just don't have the third-party kind of stuff. You can say, oh, we can run Windows 10, but really these things don't work well unless you've developed them Metro style, I guess, or whatever they call it now, where it's built tablet for tablets more.
Windows 10, not being an old Windows app, but just converted over.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and so a lot of their numbers for applications are built that way. And truth in point, the Android versions of the Microsoft ecosystem, just as the iOS versions of their apps, are very good, you know, and they're going to suffice for a huge percentage of the people using these things. So, you know, Google and Chromebooks or Android or whatever you want to call it, kind of have an advantage over Microsoft, believe it or not.
Well, I think Microsoft was extremely slow to see the future of mobile, and so they didn't put the effort into porting their signature apps, their work suite, Word, Excel, PowerPoint. They didn't put the effort into porting them to mobile devices, either iPads or Android. And when they weren't available, people found that they didn't need them. So the people who like Google have Google Docs. People who like Apple have Apple's work suite. And Microsoft has been shown to be unnecessary, which would have been unthinkable 10 years ago.
Well, not just that, but I mean, if you do like Microsoft, the offerings on iOS and Android are excellent. I mean, the actual Microsoft applications they've developed for those platforms and the apps themselves are quite nice.
Well, I haven't actually used them, I have to say.
I've used them.
Who's realized that you don't need them.
Yeah. And I'm the same way. I mean, you know, I tend to use Pages. I don't use Word. But on the other hand, Google Docs didn't quite do enough for me. I found the note-taking apps that you can get almost everywhere on anything are better than those sometimes. So I've never been a Google Docs huge user, but I've used a lot of Numbers, but I started out using all those Microsoft applications. So I got curious and I downloaded them all on my Chromebook to see what they would feel like. And I've done a little of that on my iPad too. And the applications themselves are excellent. They work well. They're built properly for the iOS they run on. They're not the usual hash of Microsoft trying to throw their stuff on another platform to make you, you know, lust after getting a Microsoft whatever. They're darn good. And I think that's maybe because they acquired some of these things. They didn't build them in-house.
Maybe. Okay, well, yeah. We're nearly running out of time. But just before we wrap up, the last question I suppose is, should Apple make one of these convertible devices, and how do you imagine that it would work? Would it be an iPad or a MacBook or something that flipped between the two, or what?
That's a good question. We've been dominating a bit, and I thought Tim may have a thought on this too, and or may want to respond to some of the other stuff we talked about, so I'll call out to him here before I comment on your question.
I think Apple would suggest that they've made their response with the smaller iPad Pro with the keyboard attached.
Okay. Whether they're
right or not is very much a matter for debate. But I think that Steve Jobs, as I said, would have found the convertibles to be anathema. I feel that when he introduced the iPads and the iPhone for that matter, I think that it was a classic Jobs move where he said, no, we're going to simplify all this. I don't want people fiddling with files and filing systems. I get rid of the whole lot. And so he made dramatic shifts, and I feel that he would consider that convertibles would be backsliding and leading to complications and so on. So, yes, well, but I think that there are some people who would be extremely happy with convertibles and have no problem at all handling them.
Yeah, I agree.
Here's a concept for you. We never had one or even really used one, but back in the day, Apple had a computer called a Duo, which was basically a desktop machine with a slot in it for a laptop. Do you remember that one, Jerry?
Yes, I do.
But so you took your laptop, you pulled your laptop out of the slot and you went off to your travels. And when you came back to the office or came back home, you slotted the laptop in and all its files were then available to your desktop, which had the bigger screen and the more powerful processor and the better graphics and everything. And now I don't expect that sort of thing because apart from screen size, the MacBooks are now pretty much on par with the desktop Macs. But wouldn't it be cool if you could sort of take your iPhone or your iPad and slot it into your Mac and have the files available on both and have, imagine you were working on a Pages document on your Mac and then you slot your iPad in and it just transfers magically. Well, I suppose they would say iCloud does that, but iCloud's not that magical.
I was thinking Apple would say, we've done this, and I'm very amused at your
we all concur on that, I think.
Yeah, I just think that there is still room for some sort of combination of a portable device of some style and a desktop device of some style.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with a lot of things you're both saying here. The biggest thing the question being, did Apple make a mistake here? Are they becoming too pedagogical? Is it pedagogical? What is the word? They're becoming too
didactic.
Attached to their own beliefs. That's it. Pedantic.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Are they becoming too attached to their own beliefs? And Steve Jobs famously, publicly, would rant and deride and ridicule anyone who disagreed with his orthodoxy, and he could just as quickly turn around and act like he never said those things.
Jerry, go on.
The interesting thing is that modern day Apple just is not quite as capable of that crazy level of hypocrisy that he could get away with, you know, that no one else, I don't think, can, you know. People were afraid of him, for one thing. I think even the press and you know, whatever, were just kind of in fear of him, you know. You didn't know what he's going to do now. He's kind of like the Donald Trump of technology at one point in his career. And so,
oh, God.
I know, but there's some truth in that. But this whole idea, Apple doesn't want you to do ... You know, you just said it, Tim, about 10 minutes ago. They don't want you messing with files, so they talk about the file system. They don't want you doing this, so they kind of block that off. But, I mean, some of these things, I don't know if they've worked or not, because I don't have the numbers in front of me, but people I know all complain about the file system on iOS. And like Sarah just said, iCloud, you know, that's kind of the way it goes, you know. And we both tried to use iCloud data for things, and apps that try to do it, I noticed they have synchronization problems. And so this stuff is not perfect. So there's plenty of room for improvement. And to say that they think they have all the solutions is kind of crazy. And I'm sure they prototyped the hell out of all this stuff we just talked about, you know, convertibles. And
yeah, I'm sure you're right.
Yeah, I'm sure they have. But you can't deny your muscle memory. Everybody I know touches that screen on a Mac laptop.
Yep.
So,
me too.
Yeah, not for everything. Yeah. Mainly just for scrolling. You know, you don't touch it to do the fine muscle things. You don't touch it to pull down a menu or to close a window. But you touch it for the broad brush strokes, you know, swiping between screens or scrolling through a list of photos or something.
Yes, and in that situation, iOS is great for swiping, but its keyboard integration lacks. There's a lot of things they don't do. They've got the hardware side of it really nice with those smart connectors, but it's much more than that. It's how you use shortcuts, how you use the tab key, how you do a bunch of different things. And they're catching up, and they're doing better and better with it. But these Chromebooks have done a good job of integrating a keyboard because that's how they started life. So they're going to have a little bit of an advantage there. But on the other hand, you know, there's a huge variety of applications and application coding standards and UI standards and stuff that are on the Chromebook that don't quite exist, that aren't as crazy on an iOS device. And the same can be said to some extent about Android, but my last month with Android on a Chromebook tells me that things are moving in the right direction because my applications have all been updated, every one of them I have, multiple times now since I've used the device, because they're all trying to cater to me specifically using a Chromebook as a tablet. So I kind of like that. I like the attention, the love I'm getting. And I think that's one of the complaints people are having about Apple these days. The users, the hardcore users like the three of us, are not feeling the love. That's why we gripe so much in the last 3 months about Apple.
Hmm.
Well, I feel that.
Go ahead. One of you. Choose.
Okay. Well, I'll go. I was just thinking, you say you've been getting a lot of updates for your Android stuff. And, of course, that's a big issue for Android people, especially for Android phones that are bought through a carrier, so they're not Google Android, they're, you know, AT&T Android or Verizon Android or something, and they don't get their software updates. That's a big problem for the Android world. But in your Chromebook world, I guess there's no restriction, and you can get all the Android updates that there are. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct.
For myself, I'm really pleased that there's all this these ideas, different machines, different formats coming out, potentially a bit of competition for Apple. 20 years ago, I would have been a little worried about Apple's survival and its competition. Apple is now about as secure as it's possible for a company to be. And so the competition is just good. And so I'm looking forward to how things develop in the next few years.
Well, yes, and I'll also say that application-wise, I use a lot of applications in iOS. Over the years, I've downloaded a lot of them. And, of course, a lot of them I've abandoned, too. But in the broad categories, I've either found the app I used on iOS, on Android, or I've found a very good substitute, or in some cases, I've even found a better substitute. The calendar I'm using right now, the Google Calendar on Android, is kind of spectacular. And it has all my calendar stuff that's on iOS right now, because they're all my calendars on all my devices are synchronized. So I don't suffer from a lack of calendar data. But the OS, UI on the calendar app I'm using on my Chromebook is extraordinarily nice. I love their date chooser, and time choosers are really nice. Better. I don't like the slot machine interface for iOS. I've never liked it, and it seems a little weird. It's better on a phone than it is on a tablet, but on a tablet it seems weird. But it's extraordinary in this one particular application. I like the colors, I like the geometry and stuff like that. That said, when I use my iPad, it is definitely a better qualitative experience. The screen is a little better. The responsiveness is a little better. The size of things is a little better. But I'm also keeping an eye on some of the other things going on. And one of them is things like the Pixel C tablet. That thing is, that's a monster. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good device. And it does kind of a magical job of integrating a keyboard on a tablet. And so I'm going to go down to the store and have a look at one of those. That's an interesting thing to look at. These Samsung Pro and Samsung Plus are very nice. The Asus came out with a Flip 2, which is slightly larger. And all of these new devices I've just named, these three, they all have Retina quality screens. They all have that kind of level of responsiveness. They have the proper lamination, so there's no space between what you look at and the glass, so you don't have fewer problems. The nits are all high. They're all above 400. So, you know, these are all worthy devices. They're all aluminum. None of them are cheesy chrome, cheesy plastic, or tacked on aluminum. In fact, I think even one of them, the Pixel stuff, might be unibody as well. So anyways, it's interesting. It's a very, very interesting. I agree with you, Tim. It's a very interesting to look at. I wouldn't be looking at this 20 years ago. I would be worried about my buddies at Apple. I'm not worried about them now. And I do like the competition they're getting to keep them from becoming like they became at one point.
Yep.
Well, I completely agree there. I mean, all these devices only exist because of the iPhone that pushed everything quantum leap forward. And so now we're seeing the reverse happen with the people who've leapfrogged over the iPhone design and now are pushing Apple. And that's great to see.
Yeah, it is. Well, great talk, guys.
Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah, that was good. And we I think we came up with some interesting points there. So thanks very much, everybody, and talk to you next time.
Adios.
Bye.